It's good to see y'all today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for freedom to be here today, for a place we can meet, for food we had to eat already. We ask for your word to speak to us today. Remind us that we're responsible in our walk with you. We ask you for our nation, that you would guide us, our leaders, that we could start drawing ourselves back to the fundamentals that you gave us to organize our country. We ask your patience with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. We are, Christmas is upon us, and we're going to talk about something of about a 30-year-old sermon. How about that? Idea I got from a 30-year-old sermon. And it's about Christmas. You know, what happens at Christmas? John Piper wrote this a few years ago. He says, if you can only make Christmas exciting with material things, how will the children get a thirst for God? Boy, that's true, isn't it? Maybe we need to bend our efforts of our imagination to make the wonder of the king's arrival visible to the children. One guy said that his 4-year-old daughter, Nancy, they were trying. He had three other daughters that were quite a bit older, but they were trying to talk to her about Christmas, the 4-year-old, so she could really try to start to understand what truly Christmas is about and, you know, not just stuff. So they had worked with her, and they said, man, maybe she has it. But sure enough, right after Christmas, after they'd opened her presents, and she had presents, she was talking to her older sisters, and this was her take on it. She told her older sisters, you know, about the presents and about Jesus, and that's the reason. And she said, I sure hope Mary and Joseph have another baby. Well, she missed it a little bit. Christmas, Santa Claus. And I want you to fax it. I want you to email it to Santa Claus and fax it to God. But I want to give this direct copy to Grandma. We want to make sure. Christmas distort things. One lady said, she told her husband one morning, just a few days before Christmas, she said, you know, I had a dream last night that you gave me $200 to spend on my Christmas wardrobe. He said, is that right? Yeah. Surely you wouldn't do anything to spoil that dream, would you? He said, of course not. You can keep the $200 in your dream. That's how that works, right? Christmas. Don't lose Christ at Christmas. When I say lose Christ, I don't mean salvation. Let's get that clear to start with. When I say, how do we lose Christ? I don't mean salvation. I don't mean a relationship with Christ. I mean a fellowship with Christ. Okay? I'm not Arminian. I don't believe you can lose your salvation. If Jesus can save us, he can keep us. The problem with that whole concept is there's a lot of people who say they're saved and they're not. So when they act like they're unsaved, people think they lost their salvation. And the scripture says, no, they never had it. That's the way that goes. That's what I believe. I believe biblically I can defend that once saved, unless, you know, I know all the arguments how you can lose your salvation, but that's just a very fact. And one verse in here tells us that, but I just want to go ahead and clarify that, okay, right up front. When I say, how do we lose Jesus? I am not talking about your salvation, okay? If you've trusted Christ, not church, not baptism, not some prayer you prayed, but if you trusted Christ and what he did on the cross with his blood to pay the price for your sin, and that's what you're counting on, if you did that, then you're saved, and nobody can undo that. Okay? That's what I believe. I believe the scripture says that. And some of the people that or distort that, or, you know, here's a quick one on that, all right? Because some of the key elements to that is in Hebrews. If you're going to be consistent with the Scripture, the same ones they say you can lose your salvation, if you're consistent, it says you can't get it back. Okay, you can lose your salvation, fine, but you won't get it back. But they say, oh, no, no, I can get it back because you work it back up. See, that's a work salvation. That's not what we're talking about, okay? I'm sorry, I don't mean to get into that dissertation. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about a fellowship with Jesus, not a relationship with Jesus. You know, and unfortunately it happens all the time, but there's a lot of times people get out of fellowship with their children, with their neighbors, with their spouses. It doesn't mean they're not still your brother or sister. It doesn't mean they're not your husband or wife. But you get out of fellowship basically where sometimes you don't want to have anything to do with them. You know what I mean? Unfortunate. That's unfortunate. So that's what we're talking about. So how is it that we get out of fellowship with Jesus at Christmas of all times? Well, that doesn't seem possible. Oh, yeah. Easiest time for it to happen. Why? Because we suppose we're in right relationship with Jesus. Let's hurry, all right? Story is from Luke chapter 2. Jesus' mother, Mary, and his earthly father, Joseph, they're taking him to Jerusalem. It says, and his parents went every year to Jerusalem at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up after the custom of the feast. You know, when they turn 13, the guys, you know, they have to learn the Torah. A lot of times the girls didn't get to learn how to read. They didn't, but the guys, it was mandatory. So they had to start going to Jerusalem. It was part of mandatory out of Exodus. The verses are in here. So there was custom. They went up to, and the Passover feast was a celebration, a week-long celebration. It was kind of like Christmas, even though it's not Christmas. Kind of the closest thing we might have to it, because it was a celebration. What is Christmas? It's supposed to be a celebration because of Jesus, right? That's what it's supposed to be about. That's what it is. And when they had fulfilled the days, a whole week, as they were returning, the boy Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and his parents didn't know it. Now, you know, a few years ago, I would have thought this strange. I don't think it's strange anymore. There's a lot of people who don't have one idea where their kids are every day. Especially when they get 16 and they start driving, they have no clue where they are. They don't know where they're going, what they're doing, who they are with. So right now, you know, there was a time when this would have seemed odd. It's not odd anymore. You say, well, I think it's a sin. You need to know where your kids are and who they're hanging around with to try to help them not lose their mind before they're old enough to understand some things, right? Y'all have heard me tell this story with Meredith quite a few times. She was at preschool over at Central, and I was driving her back and forth most of the days. And we'd talk on the way. She's in the back seat. She's about 5. And we were headed home one day, and I said, who'd you play with today? She said, why you want to know? I pulled the car over to the side of the road. I turned around where she could see me. I wasn't angry. I just said, listen, honey, as long as you are in my house, I will know who you are messing with. Because it's my responsibility before God. Never had another problem. Why? Because she understood that I was trying to look out for her. Can you imagine? It says they went a whole day before they even knew he was missing. Now, you got to understand the culture there was a lot of families traveled together on foot. So it would be easier for that to happen. But you would go a whole day and not know where your kid was? You know, can I be honest? I don't know a whole lot of my uncles and aunts that I'd trust my whole kid with all day will not know what was going on. As good as they are. Right? Why? Because they forget sometimes. Oh, I'm looking after his kid today. And his parents didn't even know it. Wow. But supposing, there's the problem. By supposition. Well, Jesus has got to be controlling my life because I'm at church today. Wrong. Boy, I don't have anything to do with it, as we'll see. But supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey. And they sought for him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. Remember, they all traveled together. A lot of them did. So that wasn't a strange thing, but still, a whole day, you know, a whole day. And when they found him not, they returned to Jerusalem seeking for him. And it came to pass, after 3 days in the temple, they found him. 3 days? Three whole days. Wow. That's kind of strange. Sitting in the midst of the teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions, and all that heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Why'd you do this to us?" He says, "You wouldn't left me." You know, I'm thinking out loud here, all right? One time my mama left me. I was a grown man. Our church wasn't that far away. We'd stand out there after a Sunday night service and just stand around talking. We were standing out talking. I looked around. I said, "Huh. This is one time I rode home. I rode to church with mama. It's before we got married." And I said, "Well, I guess I'll walk home." She just drove off and left me. She finally came back. "But why did you do this to us?" And I'm thinking, wait a minute. You left him. You left the temple without knowing what all the people that is going on there in the temple. And you says it's his responsibility? Wow. "Behold, thy father and I are sorrowful." It's kind of funny, actually. "And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Didn't you know I was about my father's house?" They didn't know that. They didn't understand that for sure. The angle of privilege, you know, it was customary. Men, it was in Exodus and Deuteronomy. Men were absolutely commanded to go to Jerusalem to worship. That's why last week when we saw Jesus said, "Oh, no. You will never see me as who I'm supposed to be until the temple is gone." That's why I said, "You destroy this thing, then I'll have a chance for you to see me." The temple was the center where God was. I mean, that's how it was that important to them. And so men were supposed to go because it was so far away. They usually probably only made one trip instead of three that was supposed to be taken by them because, you know, their own foot and they'd been scattered by the diaspora, so they were not close where they could go. But they still had to go. And when you turned 13, you were... The focus is this. It was a big party. It was. The Passover day, then the rest of it was celebration. That's exactly what Christmas is. Christmas is not exactly like Passover, but it's a big celebration. Parties, gifts, and what happens at Christmas? We have parties and gifts. People don't go to church. They quit in their prayer life. All kind of pauses goes and takes things away from the gospel's sake. It seems like it's very in the midst of the celebration of Christ that we forget about him. And guess who moves? Christ hasn't gone anywhere. It's us. We get so preoccupied with stuff, and Lord knows what parties you got to go to, right? Nothing is recorded that the New Testament church did that. Remember, they're in the building days of this whole event. But the Passover is about the closest thing we have to it. It's basically a big celebration. Basically, that's what Christmas is. It's a big celebration about Jesus coming as a baby. It's a celebration, right? That's right. Same thing. So we can look at that and we can see. Basically, that's what's going on. That's the closest thing that we have. It required a whole week of that's what was happening. They lost Jesus in the midst of the celebrating Jesus. You say, well, they weren't celebrating Jesus. You know what the Passover was, right? It was a picture of Jesus. He's the one going to come and take our judgment for us. That's exactly what it is. It was all about it. You know, you go back in history and you read about the first and second Great Awakening in this country when there was a great revival going on. When you get some detailed books, you realize they'll have these great big revival meetings, and then the next week, all kind of sin was going on by the same people. It's kind of funny how we just say, oh, well, just because of this celebration, everything's right. No, you can't assume that. You can't suppose that. That's exactly what they did. It can happen to them. If it can happen to them, and that's his real mother and his earthly father, if it can happen to them, you think it can't happen to us? If we lose Jesus in the middle of celebrating his birthday? If that even is what it's about, son. In what sense can we lose him? How does that work? Fellowship. It's not relationship. You know, if you're truly his, he's not going to disown you. Okay? Just like truly, I guess you can disown somebody in this life. But somebody that doesn't go that far, they won't disown you, but you're just out of fellowship and you don't get along very well. Okay? In that sense, that's exactly what I'm talking about here. Relationship-wise, they lost him in the sense of fellowship. And I already explained this. If you're truly born again, you're not going to lose that. But that is the problem. There's a lot of people who say, oh, yeah, I was born back whenever I was 12, but you're living like a pagan for the last 30 and nothing's changed. There's no reason to believe you were ever saved. I mean, that's what the scripture says. Jesus says what? If you love me, if you're committing me, you will do what? Keep my commandments. Hey, doesn't mean we never make a mistake, but there should be a general tenor of our life has changed, and we do not live the way we used to live, even as children. You should see some kind of difference in them if they really understand what's going on. You know, that is the problem. Look what it says. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. If you're truly born again, the devil cannot take you. Okay? And if you fall into this crazy theological nonsense to make you think you can lose your salvation, you're really mixed up. You know, you need to take the time to figure that out, because here's what happened. You'll think it's up to you to save yourself, and you can't. You have to understand that, all right? My Father who have given unto me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch him out of my Father's hands. We're not talking about salvation that way. We're talking about relationship. That's what it is, all right? Let's keep going hurriedly. He'll put all these up on the website for us. Have we lost our fellowship with Christ? Do you know whether or not that's what's going on in your life? There's a litmus test for it, always, in the sense of that. How does that work? Here's this part of it. Whom not having seen you love, on whom though not you see him not, yet believing you rejoice. You know, a great way to know? A true born-again person who has no joy in their life, their fellowship with Jesus is not where it's supposed to be. You know, a lost person is never going to have that. They might have happiness and they might have this. They'll never have any true joy. But a Christian, the most miserable person on earth, is a true believer who is out of the fellowship with Jesus, and there is no joy in their life. It's impossible. That's exactly what Peter says. And full of glory. What does the Bible say? You say, well, preacher, my goodness, we can't be joyful all the time. The scripture says, rejoice when? Always. What does that mean? Always. So that means we can have joy and rejoice always. But if we're out of fellowship, you know how that works. When you're out of fellowship with someone, you don't talk to them much. You try to avoid them. You just don't want to deal with it. Isn't that right? When you're out of fellowship with Jesus, that's exactly the same thing that happens. You quit reading the Bible. Before long, you quit going to church. Before long, you don't do these things. And all those things show that you're out of fellowship with Jesus. That's what it does. That's exactly what Peter is talking about. And the scripture says that. Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. And the only way you can rejoice is in the Lord. It's a given. It has to be that. That's the only way you can truly have it. So, now here's another question. Well, who can fall out of fellowship with Jesus? Anybody. Even Joel Osteen. Did you know that? All of us. It's possible for all of us. You know, the scripture is full of people that were out of fellowship with God. How about Noah? Noah ever get out of fellowship with God? Saved a human race by God's hand. David, how about him? How many people did he kill in that little event? Moses? Moses didn't even get to go in the promised land because he was disobedient, fell out of sight with God. Samson? God used him mightily. Was he out of fellowship? Wow. Peter? What did Jesus say to him? You get behind me, Satan. You acting like Satan. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Anybody can get out of fellowship. You know, if you think you're sitting here and say, well, that ain't going to ever happen to me, you just sunk. You just sunk. The scripture I'm about to show you, that's exactly what it says. Let him that thinketh he standeth. If you think you're above that and you'll never get out of fellowship with Jesus, what? Be careful. You just fell. Anyone can have this happen to them. And then we say, well, how did that happen to them? Do you think you're beyond that? That's exactly what happened to these guys. This is the encouraging part. There will never be a moment in your life while you're in an earthly body in this fallen world that you can say, I will never have to deal with that. You will always fight that thing of falling away from Jesus. Always. Well, that's real encouraging. Yeah, at least you know it, right? If you know that possibility is there, then you got something to look out for. You can pay attention. There's always going to be that danger. So that means we always have to be careful. We always have to be looking. Well, physically, how does that work? You know, geographically, how do we lose Jesus? You know, how does that work? They were in Jerusalem at the Passover. They lost him in the midst of a religious ceremony. You can lose Jesus in a Bible study. You can lose Jesus at church. You can lose Jesus in a band. You can lose him anywhere. They lost him in a spiritual celebration. They didn't lose him in a bar. They didn't lose him in a nightclub. They didn't lose him in any of those places. In the middle of religious ceremony is where they lost him. It was all about Jesus. Christmas is supposed to be what? All about Jesus. So how do we lose him? Oh, it's not very complicated. It's pretty simple. Could it be this Christmas, instead of getting closer to Jesus, that we lose him? If you don't guard against it, you can. All of us are susceptible to it. We get farther away from him. So when the new year comes, you got to say, well, my goodness, I got so far away from Jesus, I got to get back. Well, that's a sad indictment against us, isn't it? Well, my new year resolution is to get back with Jesus. What happened to him? Well, I lost him during Christmas. Why? Because I got so caught up in the world and all the plastic stuff that they make, I forgot. I quit looking. You know, it's a sin that everything's made out of plastic, isn't it? So when the new year comes, we shouldn't have to do that. Well, I got to get back on track. Well, where'd you get off track? That's another one of the issues. Remember the church at Laodicea? We studied that already. Jesus said, you're over here and over here. You think you're here and you don't even realize you're not what you think you are. That's exactly what the thing was, right? He said, you think you have this and you don't? No. You know, Laodicea church had moved from where it was and didn't even know it. That's exactly what it says. Will we allow Christmas to replace Jesus? Will we lose him in the stuff? You know, I talked about it last week and had a lot of good conversation with people afterwards. You know, like many others who came up and talked to me, at Christmas, we got some fruit in one thing, and it wasn't a car, and it wasn't a four-wheeler, and it wasn't, might be a BB gun, might be. You know, that was it. We didn't have a lot. We were satisfied. But you know, even in the midst of that, Jesus wasn't the center. My family wasn't saved. We didn't start talking about Jesus till I was saved and understood my salvation later on as an adult. It wasn't there. But we didn't have that. There's so many distractions that come from Christmas. How is that? The very Passover celebration was that which separated Mary and Joseph from Jesus. You say, what? How? That should be a lesson for all of us. Be careful. So how is it that we're actually losing? What is the process? How does it happen? How does it happen to us? Here's how it happens. But they supposing him to have been in the company. Why do you suppose you're right with Jesus? Okay? You say, well, I'm right. Why are you supposing that? What makes you think that? And they went on a day's journey. They lost him by presumption. Well, he has to be in the crowd. He was with us when we started this trip. So he's just here now. Well, you know, we've been going to church for 10 years. He's got to be the reality of my life. No, he doesn't. No, doesn't work that way. They just assumed he was with them. You mean to tell me you didn't stop every 3 or 4 hours and just make sure Jesus was in the group? No. Do you ever check up even once a week on your relationship with Jesus to see how you're doing? Are you on X? Are you on Facebook? Are you on TV or somewhere where you... To lose Jesus. They didn't lose him by getting drunk or by denying him. They went a day's journey one step at a time. Easy. One step at a time. Farther and farther. Supposing, oh, he's in the group. Did you see him? What evidence do you have that in your life? You know, how you know that that's still a reality? A day's journey. Just supposing. Do we just take for granted Just because you came to church, that you and Jesus are okay? Just because you were baptized one time, whenever it was, that everything's okay? Do you ever stop and check that out? See how that's going? Is Jesus really controlling your life? You know, or are you just supposing? Well, that's just a given. It's just a given. That's what they thought. Until he was gone. Just because you prayed a prayer one day? Just because you go to church once a year? Hey, do God a favor. Go once a year. You know, back home we had a group called Buzzard Baptist. Y'all know what they are? You only go when someone dies. That's the only time they went to church. But they were saved and on their way to heaven. You judging them? No, their life is judging them. I'm not judging them. Their life's judging them. Or just because you give a tenth of your 1% of your money. Oh, well, I've got to be right with Jesus, or I wouldn't give him that penny out of every thousand. Heavens, no. Absolutely, that's got to be the way it is. Or just because you sing or play in the band? Or just because you clean the church once a year? Oh, I'd have never cleaned the church that one time last year if I wasn't right with Jesus. Really? You suppose. You know how that works? We just say, we never stop and check up. We never stop and look back and say, oh, where are you, Jesus? You still coming? We can't see you. I can't even imagine how you go a day with a child and not know what's going on with them, you know? Anyway, are you just supposing that Jesus is a reality of your life? Just because, and put whatever you want to there. Well, I've been baptized. I go to church every now and then. I do this. And you just suppose everything is a reality. Well, that's easy to do. That's what they did. And then what, 3 days later, they find, whoa, wait a minute, he's not with us. How long do we go before we wake up and say, Jesus is really not a reality in my life? I'm out of fellowship with him. I'm not doing anything that I should be doing if I'm in fellowship with him. You know, what's one of the things, if you're a real good fellowship with people, what do you do with them? Time, talking, at least see them, if you can, unless they live a long, long ways away. How does that work? Look what it said about Samson. Remember who Samson was? God used him. The Bible says anything that's going on in your life, he's not there. And then you wonder why you make all these crazy decisions. Why? Because he's not a reality in your life. You're not staying in touch with him. You just suppose, oh yeah, everything's got to be all right. That's what they did, and look where Jesus was. 3 days behind them. You can lose Jesus just like that. One step at a time. Wow. Are we willing to examine our life this morning and say, okay, is Jesus reality in my life something real, or is that just a supposition? What evidence in my life is that that's real? What's going on in our fellowship, in my fellowship with Jesus? What's going on there? Neglect is often the way to get away from Jesus, and it's based on supposition. Well, he's got to be in my life if I was baptized. There's plenty of lost people get baptized. People call sometimes, well, I want to get baptized. I said, why? Why you want to get baptized? Well, I said, you involved in Jesus and church? Oh, no, I just want to be baptized. I said, well, you need to go call somebody else. That ain't the way that works. And that's exactly how they do it. That's what they think, some of them. Crazy, isn't it? The danger is that I could be here today in church, hearing this message, supposing that everything's right in my fellowship with Jesus, and it's not. That's why we have to stop, look around, see what's going on in our life, see where Jesus is. Is he a reality in our life, in where we go, decisions we make, everything that shows us. That's how we do it. How can you find him? What did they do? They went back to Jerusalem. Well, the last time we saw him was back in Jerusalem. Why don't we go back there? You know, I must confess, I have a hard time keeping up with my keys. Do y'all, anybody have that problem? And I have a place that I put them every time I come in the house, but somebody moves them. A little leprechaun. Right? Anybody else? I don't lose important stuff. I've left my phone a couple times. Not much, but I don't even care if somebody got that. So what do you do? Well, where did you last have it? If I knew that, I'd go get it. Isn't that right? And what they ask you? Where'd you have it last? When I got out of the truck, I had it. I don't know. That's what, like Jonathan Winters, and he was talking to Johnny Carson, and he, you know, he was talking about how they used to drink a lot together, and he finally quit, and Johnny Carson asked him, he says, how is that? He said, well, I like my life so much better now. He said, you know, I like going to the zoo and being able to recognize the animals. You know, I like walking out and being able to find my car. And you say, the people ask you, well, where's your car? I don't know. What color is your car? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anything, you know, because they're so drunk. You go back to where you think you had it last, right? Where's the last time you had a reality check with Jesus? Go back there. That's where you start. You got to go back somewhere. And this is a good thing. If you honestly seek, that's exactly what the psalm says. It says, Lord, search me, try me, help me know where I am. I have it up there somewhere. I don't know if we'll go that far. Where is that verse in Psalms? Where he says that. Oh, there it is. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there's any. If you really want to get back right with Jesus and you want to know where that was you left him, he'll help you. He'll help you. Like the drunk guy who was getting sober at the little rescue mission, and the man said, well, you know, you need just to confess your sin. What happened to where you left off at? And he said, well, I don't remember. He said, well, just start confessing them. He said, okay. He said, it didn't take long when I got back right where I was. When you get serious about it, Jesus will help you. Where did you leave him? Did you leave him in a relationship? Did you leave him at some kind of, where'd you leave him? You track back and say, we were with Jesus close here, then go back there. You got to do that. That's how you do it. You know, Jesus is not the one who moves, right? You get away from Jesus because you moved. It's because I moved. He's not moving anywhere. He's not going to. Have you been neglecting your Bible? Maybe start back there. Have you been spending too much time on all the social media nonsense? Maybe you need to get rid of your phone. You know, there was a day we lived without cell phones. Any of y'all remember that? Wasn't it a glorious day? I get so tired of, what they call that? Potential scam. And they don't quit. Up five in a row. You say, Verizon ought to do something about that. Because we can't. They ought to do something about that. What is it? Any of those things? I can't name them all. My goodness, that's not exhaustive. That's just some of them. Oh, well, I don't have time. Well, if you'd quit some of that nonsense, you would. Is that where you lost it? No, it's easy. So many things. Maybe you stopped attending church. Well, that's really not necessary. But then why in the world did Jesus die for it? Why in the world is church necessary? Why is it we shouldn't be a part of it if Jesus thought it was necessary to create it? Maybe you've gotten some kind of bitterness. You know, something happened to you and you got bitter and it kind of drove you away, and so the reality of Jesus is gone. Some grudge you have, some kind of affection you have or something that you shouldn't have. What is it? What is it? Step by step, start looking. Is that it? Is that it? Is that it? Something caused it. What happened? Maybe it's just carelessness. Maybe that's it. Go on day after day and not stopping to think, hey, Jesus, what's going on? Where should I be? What am I doing? What's guiding me? You know, those things. Where will you find him? Right where you left him. Right where you left him. And guess whose responsibility that is? Yours. It's not your mama's unless you're underage, and it is your mama's, or if you're living in their house, even if you are age. Hello? Yeah, I won't get into that one, all right? Well, I will. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you're living in your mom and daddy's house, they get to say. Do you understand that? And if you don't like that, you need to get out. Well, you shouldn't make me do that. Yeah, this is my house. You go get your own house. You know, that's one dad said. They had a great Christmas gift for their children. They got them their own apartment. You get out of here. Yeah. That's exactly I remember, in closing, we were sitting at a dinner table one time in North Carolina, and this girl was, I don't know, 19, 20. Good friends of ours, the whole family, and that was the issue. She'd been staying out too late, and Mom and Dad said, oh, you can't do that. So they brought it up to ask me in front of everybody at the table. I'm not shy. I said, you still live in the house? Well, yeah. I said, then you need to do exactly what they tell you to do, or you need to get out. Oh, we're still good friends. That's the way it goes. You know, that's the way it's supposed to be. A lot of children freeload on their parents. You need to get rid of them. Let them learn how to be responsible. Okay, that's not the sermon today. You can't plow around that one. You got to deal with it. You want to get back to where Jesus is? Your responsibility. It's so easy to lose him at Christmas. We just get covered up with all the Christmas stuff that's supposed to be about Jesus, but none of it is. Let's don't fall prey to that. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that you love us, that you're patient with us. Help us all examine our heart today. See what's intervening. What's coming between you and I? What is it that's allowing us to have other things influence us other than you and your word? Help us to see it and start working on it to get back where we're supposed to be, where you're the controlling factor in our life. Thank you for your love and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.